Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I'm going to start this week's podcast briefly talking about the latest U.S. inflation data and then spend the balance of the time talking about the latest market moves and the inflation, deflation, and economic cycles strategy for the immediate future. For a brief preview, we measure performance by annual returns, not 1 month bear market bounces and head fakes like we saw in January last month. Last year, we outperformed the S&P by about 1,500 basis points. Getting the cycles correct is what we have done over and over again in the past. Measuring the liquidity cycles, the inflation deflation cycles, they are things that we measure in quarters and years, not days, not weeks. January's underperformance on my behalf is unfortunate. I'm very sorry it happened. But it's irrelevant in the long term. For now, a bit of patience is required as we collect very significant amount of dividends and coupons while we wait for the economy and markets to reflect the reality of much tighter fiscal and much, much, much tighter monetary policies. Okay, I'll have more to say that about that in a second. This week's CPI inflation report, consumer price inflation report, contained benchmark revisions to the weightings. What the Bureau of Labor Statistics does is this. They determine, this is not my opinion, this is what they tell you they are doing. They determine what goods and services have increased so much in price over the past year that consumers have reduced their consumption of them. And then they go ahead and reduce the weightings of those items accordingly. So whatever you consume, suppose like, you know, you enjoy a nice steak or some scrambled eggs in the morning, and people have attenuated or reduced the amount of consumption of those things because they've gone up in price too much. Well, then the Bureau of Labor Statistics, nicely, the Labor Department, which is, you know, BLS is part of the Labor Department, will then very kindly reduce that weighting so it makes the CPI print look more anemic, weak, mollified. Pretty much that's called reverse hedonics. They already take away things like, okay, let's for example, you buy a new car and it has a great new stereo system. Well, the stereo system is better than it was last year, so the price increase for the stereo doesn't go into the car because it's still a stereo system. Even though you have to pay more for the car because it has a nicer stereo system, they don't count that as inflation. Well, the reverse, if you're going to do that hedonic adjustment, the reverse has to also be true. If I can no longer eat meat and I have to eat grass, well, my lifestyle has changed. My standard of living has decreased, so that should also be the case, but they don't do that. So in spite of this, the January inflation, in spite of what I just said, the January inflation data came out as follows. CPI was up 6.4% year over year in the prior month. The year over year increase was 6.5%. So we went from a 6.5% annual increase to 6.4%. Wow, what a reduction in inflation. But the monthly rate rose 0.5% in January versus an increase of just 0.1% in December. So the month over month rate increased significantly. Okay, let's look at the core rate of CPI. That was up 0.4% month over month, and that was an increase, as seen in December, was exactly the same. And the year-over-year core rate of CPI was up 5.6% in January, which was just 0.1% lower than in December. So the bottom line is this. If you don't understand any of that or didn't want to understand any of that, just remember this. We have disinflation, yes, but it is disinflating at a much, much slower rate from December to January, which brings us to a review of the main reason why stocks have been rallying in early 2023. The soft landing myth or the no landing at all myth is being promulgated because inflation decreased from 9.1% last summer to 6.4% in the context of strong jobs market, a very strong jobs market, and Q4 GDP growth of 2.9% at a seasonally adjusted annualized rate. This led Wall Street banks to gamble like drunken monkeys on the unprofitable tech sector and to claim the bear market is now over. That is incorrect, and we will invest accordingly. First off, we have the lagged effects of one of the greatest and globally coordinated monetary tightening regimes ever facing us later this summer, probably at the start of the third quarter, around end of June, early July. The yield curve inversion is hit minus 90 basis points this morning. That is the most since 1981 and presages a very sharp, not a regular recession, not a little slight decline in earnings per share of the S&P 500, a trenchant and sharp recession and sharp decline in earnings. The ISMs are either flat to barely growing. The Institute of Supply Management service and manufacturing sectors are barely growing or flat. The net percentage of banks tightening lending standards is now 44%, and that has never happened before without us about to enter into a recession. The M2 money supply is shrinking for the first time in history. The monetary fuel is gone. The leading economic index is in recession territory. The Fed is raising borrowing costs from 0 to 4.5% and is still in the process of hiking those rates by at least 50 more basis points by the second quarter. We have the most aggressive quantitative tightening program ever, which is the burning of $1 trillion off of the base money supply per annum. Chair Powell of the Federal Reserve said this pace will roll on for another 2 years. We have 22 consecutive months of negative real income growth. Two-thirds of consumers are now living paycheck to paycheck, a record high. The savings rate is one of the lowest in recorded history. We have a humongous amount of announced job cuts. We have record corporate debt to GDP. We have a record national debt to GDP, which is even higher than it was after World War II. And yet, in spite of all the things I just mentioned, the two most important stock valuation metrics in history, as measured by the total market cap of equities to GDP and the price to sales ratio, are higher today than at any other time in history prior to the 2020 pandemic. What else would you expect when money has been made virtually free for 10 of the last 14 years? We are now simply in the eye of an economic hurricane where inflation has come down significantly, but the journey from 6% to 2% will be much more arduous than the journey from 9 to 6. And by the way, if inflation is still rising at a 6% annualized rate after it went up 20% back to back in the last 2 years, if you measure it accurately, prices are still rising. And the standard of living of American consumers is plunging. Don't ignore that fact. And where the preliminary warning signs of recession have yet to become fully manifest, but should inexorably arrive by Q3. The other end of the eye wall will soon hit because the Treasury general account will be exhausted and the CPI's easy base effects that we should enjoy from April through June will go away, meaning we will see quantitative tightening on steroids come June as the Treasury general account is replenished and the sticky CPI that we've seen so far, we're going to have a 3-month hiatus of that. In other words, CPI prints could look very, very friendly for gold and bonds and bond proxies over the next few months. That's why I increased the gold position. But that ends in June and sticky CPI returns. In this light, the PPS IDEX strategy has us in 70% bond position right now, collecting a yield between 4 and 5%. Bond proxies like gold and utilities and a small position in a foreign ETF. The rationale is that the market is just too dangerous to be fully invested right now without the appropriate hedges. I mean, you either agree with me about all the things I've just mentioned, or you should de-link from PPS if you are a client and go and buy Bed Bath & Beyond and profitless tech companies and the only real things that are rallying right now as we head into Sector 1, the Phase 2 of this recession and disinflation debacle. However, it is also not yet, at least not at this very moment, appropriate to get aggressively short. I will wait until the IDEX model sees credit and financial conditions turn more negative before adding shorts back into the portfolio. The next phase of the bear market is going to be brutal for equities, but this phase should be much easier to make money from, unlike phase one that occurred in 22, because government bonds, which featured just a tremor in the bond market collapse during last year's debacle, should not suffer anywhere near the 30% drubbing they took. Instead, Treasury should rally this time around. Then, after the deflationary recession runs its course, the strategy will be to pick up the appropriate allocation to equities at a much more fair and safer price. Modeling these inflation-deflation cycles accurately is the secret to making money in both bull markets and avoiding big crashes that tend to occur during recessions, that always recur during recessions. That is what PPS is all about. Let the Wall Street buffoons chase the meme stocks. We will stick to the process that works.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.